Hey there, Fangirl Nation. You are listening to Fangirl Sports Network's Get My Job podcast on Believe. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am so excited to be joined today by ESPN's Pittsburgh Steelers NFL Nation reporter, Brooke Pryor. Brooke takes us through her awesome career journey while talking about the importance of being open to different career paths, not limiting oneself, and so much more. It's a really great episode, so subscribe, rate, review, and enjoy. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Brooke, thank you so much for joining me today. Forget my job. I am so excited to connect with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I don't know that people necessarily want my job during free agency when there are late night tweets and early morning wake up and panics that something's happened overnight. But 9 times out of 10, I would say 11 of 12 months of the year, I love having it.
Well, and I'm glad that you opened with that, because something we talk about on this podcast a fair amount, and I like driving it home as often as possible, is our listeners are often women in the industry, men in the industry, young women in the industry, young men who want to get in the industry. And you bring up a great point right off the bat. As much as you love sports, as much as you love your job, it's a lot of work. It's not just the glamorous stuff. It's not just your TV hits. There's a lot that goes into it. And so I'm glad you started with that, because I want people to understand that as they think about getting into this field.
Yes, absolutely. I was actually just trying to scroll back to the Slack messages that my boss and I exchanged when I think what would that have been? Friday night? The Steelers had traded Kenny Pickett to the Eagles Friday afternoon, maybe an hour
and a half. So
guys,
we're recording this, by the way, obviously not the day that this comes out. So it'll be a few weeks ago when you're listening to it, but very fresh in our minds as we're recording it.
Yes, I can't even process thinking ahead to the future, because I'm in like a minute by minute situation in my mind right now as things keep changing. But the Friday of free agency, the Steelers trade Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles, probably an hour and a half to 2 hours after the end of Russell Wilson's introductory press conference, where we had no idea that this was going to happen. I had heard some rumblings that Kenny Pickett was unhappy with the Steelers signing Russell Wilson, that he had been told that Russ was going to have the advantage in a quarterback competition. But I didn't know what was going to happen then. And I'm in my car. I had just gone to Qdoba to get some food, a very late lunch. And my husband texts me and he says, Kenny got traded. And I'm like, oh my God, I really just want to eat this Qdoba bowl and chips and queso. And I'm trying to text, you know, people with the team, agents, my editor, everyone. I'm 5 minutes from the house. I run in, like, get everything filed. And then that night, UNC won the semifinal in the ACC tournament. I'm a UNC grad. Okay. I have recently rediscovered my fandom for UNC basketball that was on hiatus when I covered college sports. And now that's like my fun hobby is to just be a UNC basketball enthusiast. And the ACC tournament is in Washington, D.C. It's about a 4-hour drive from Pittsburgh. And I told myself all week, if UNC gets to the championship game, I'm going to go. Well, the Steelers trade away Kenny Pickett, and I said, oh my gosh, I bet they're going to end up trading for Justin Fields. I'd gotten a couple texts to be on the lookout for it. And so at 9:17 p.m. on Friday night, I slacked my boss and I said, professionally speaking, is it dumb to drive to D.C. tomorrow for the ACC championship? I'm a little worried they could trade for Justin. And that night, at midnight, my boss slacks me back. He says, I'm sorry I missed this. I think you should live your life. He said, if something goes down and you need to break away, I know you'll do what you got to do. So I say, great. I had posted an Instagram story in the meantime with three options of will the Steelers trade for Justin Fields if I go to DC? The options were yes, absolutely, and maybe this is a reverse jinx. And not 24 hours later, I am sitting in a restaurant in Washington, D.C., about 2 hours before tip-off, and I get a text that the Steelers have indeed traded for Justin Fields. And it was just one of those, like, well, I knew this was a possibility. I thankfully was two blocks from my hotel. I left my friends at dinner, ran back to my hotel, confirming the news on the way, went up, wrote a newser, did an FAQ, taped a radio hit, and then ran back, finished dinner, and only got to the game 2 minutes after tip-off. So
impressive.
That, you know, that's just a that's this job in a nutshell, is there are always going to be things that come up that, yes, you love sports. I love sports so much. I love that my life revolves around them, but then it really does become one of those moments of my life is revolving around this so much that sometimes I have to drop everything else and can't do what I want to do, even in times when, like, it's a Saturday night at 7 p.m. I shouldn't be on the clock, but that's not the way this works. And, you know, I love it and hate it for it, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
And it's funny, I have a similar, I'm a diehard Michigan football fan. That's my fun, Michigan and the Dodgers, because obviously covering the NFL, I don't really have a team, though soon to be the Minnesota Vikings if they draft J.J. McCarthy. But, but in reality, I don't really have a team. But it's funny because the Niners played Thanksgiving, which they haven't done in a while, very long while. And the Ohio State game was in Ann Arbor. And, you know, we travel so much for work that I was like, oh, a mini bye, I'll come home, I'll relax. But then I was like, how often are those two things going to happen? Like, it could be another 10 years before that happens.
Yep.
So took a 5 a.m. flight to Detroit on Friday before the Rose Bowl, took a New Year's Eve flight out of Baltimore after they played the Commanders, and took a red eye to the national championship, the last game of the season. Luckily, there wasn't too much news at that point with San Francisco, but exhaustion. It's funny because the Rose Bowl had zero service, which meant I missed the Kyle Shanahan Monday conference call. And that was really hard for me.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Somehow they powered through the call without me. And everyone was fine. Somehow they made it through. Luckily, again, they were not so newsy at that point. They had, you know, sewed up the NFC and everything. Like, they were, it was nothing major came from that call. But it was really hard for me as a professional to be like, I can't be on this call. Because I had planned to go out and just be on the call. But you know what? Life did go on, but it is hard and we have to make those decisions. And you made it all work, but that's a lot of this is making it all work. And I do think it's funny that we work in an industry where you had to make it all work for the fun part with your job part, if that makes sense. All sports related, but we just have to figure it out. But I'm glad we're talking about this right off the jump, because it's such a big part of it. And choices do have to be made, and it's hard. You know, it's hard. The human side, you know, and I think there's the part of all of us too. They're like, I work so much and I'm always on call. And you're like, I just want to go see North Carolina play. I want to be there, but it's kind of a big deal that they traded for Justin Fields. So you had to be there too, if that makes sense.
Yep. And you know, those are conversations that I have with other friends in the industry, with my boss, with my therapist, with my husband, of, you know, what it's all a risk benefit analysis. I think I'm using that term right. I was not great at econ, but
that's
maybe
about
cost
it.
Yeah. You know, it's the way that I manage everything is I always think of what's the worst possible scenario. And then I walk back from that and like evaluate the likelihood that those things happen. And the thing that I've told people is, you know, one of the reasons I love being at ESPN is because we have a news desk and we have so much great support that you can go on vacation and completely disconnect. And something, it has to rise to like a DEFCON 5 threshold. And to that, it's like a death or a release of like a starting quarterback. Like, it has to be so far up for somebody to alert me, to pull me out of what I'm doing in that case. And so I kind of go into every activity thinking like, okay, how important is this activity that I'm doing? how important does news have to be to pull me away? And what am I sacrificing on either end to make either one of those things happen? You know, my one of my favorite, but also just like unhinged stories of when I realized like I really need to reevaluate my priorities here. I had a health thing a couple years ago where I was in the hospital. I had a freak blood clot in my brain. I'm totally fine now. But as I'm being wheeled back to the ICU, or from, it was either from after surgery to the ICU or from the ICU up to my regular room, Josh Dobbs, I think, had just re-signed with the Steelers.
Okay.
And I love his agent, Mike McCartney, one of the good guys in the industry, has always been helpful and just helping me understand how the league works because he's been in it for so long. And I had my phone, and here I am, like a day after brain surgery, texting Mike, congrats to Josh Dobbs, so happy for your guy. And in that moment, after I sent it, I was like, I really need a reality check here. Like, nothing is happening one way or the other if I send or don't send this text. It's okay for me to put my phone down, but it's a hard thing to figure out how much of yourself you need to give and how much you need to keep for you to maintain your sanity in this job.
100%. And it is really important because we all need a break. You don't want to burn out. A couple weeks ago, I went for like a 3-day spa vacation, and it was my first real time off after the season because the Niners being in the Super Bowl, obviously there wasn't much time between the Super Bowl and the combine. But even with that going on, they re-signed Colton McKivitz. I still had to post about it. Like I still had to get stuff up about it and all that kind of stuff. But it was amazing how much those 3 days, even with still having to work a little, it was amazing how important that recharge was. And it reminded me how important it is to take that time. And that during the season, I even have to be better on like a Saturday afternoon, once all the roster moves are done for the Sunday game, like just take 4 hours and put my phone away. Because I'll probably check it, but most likely in that time period, nothing too crazy is going to happen. And it does make such a difference. Like I got back from that little vacation, it was 3 days away. And I was like, oh, I'm like a new person. I'm myself again. And that also made me a little bit like, I also think even during the season, I think I'm going to have to be a little better about this.
Right. Easier said than done, though, because now you'll put your phone away for 4 hours and all of a sudden, like well, we're not in COVID times anymore. But I remember this happening during the COVID season of I'd try to put my phone down and I'd come back to it. And surprise, actually, I vividly remember being in a dressing room at Anthropology in Cincinnati. They have a great Anthropology.
Oh, and good to know.
it's my favorite part of going. I think it was maybe Monday afternoon, which is usually a pretty slow news day. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go to Anthropology. I'm not going to check my phone. And then I happened to check it, TJ Watt placed on the COVID list, and I'm sitting in a dressing room with like just a rack of clothes to try on, typing out a story on my phone. So, you know, things happen and then something else happens and life moves on. But I think about all the time, you know, the trade-off of, okay, sometimes we have to write news stories in the dressing room in Anthropology, but we don't have to go into a 9-to-5 and 100%. Have structured work hours because I couldn't do it. I know myself. I prefer working from my couch and giving myself back problems and being able to nap, you know, randomly on a Tuesday afternoon. I somehow figured out from an early age that office life was not for me and figured out a way to kind of circumvent that and just, you know, be on call 24/7 without saving lives.
And that's the thing. And I think people ask about game days all the time. They're like, can you come to my tailgate? I'm like, I definitely can't. And can you meet up after the game? Definitely can't do that either. Because, you know, so like my game day starts at, let's say, 6:37 a.m. and goes till, well, you're on the East Coast, so I'm on the West Coast. So most of my game days, let's say, start at 6:37 a.m. and go till 7, 8, 9 p.m. You know, however long it goes after the game. And people are like, it's such long days, but it is long days. And again, want to drive home that it's a lot of work and there's a lot of work that goes into it. And it's not all the glamorous stuff you see, but by the same token, 100%, I could be doing something different. And this is a fabulous job.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that I do always love the, oh, can you swing by my tailgate? And when I was in college, I would do that. And I look back now and I'm like, thank goodness I was at a student newspaper where things are a little less strict when you're with a student newspaper, right? Like at least I didn't understand necessarily the value in being at a game 2 or 3 hours early. And at UNC, I worked for the Daily Tar Heel, the student newspaper, and our parking passes were for the bell tower lot that's right beside the stadium. That's where that's where media parking was. It was also where my best friend's family had a tailgate every single week that there was a home game. So I would get there early, park if I was covering the game, and then pop up to the tailgate for a little bit, hang out with my friends, and then, 45 minutes, half an hour before kickoff, go on down to the game and go up to the press box. UNC football, also back then, not nearly as big a deal as an NFL game or even covering the SEC or Big 10, Big 12. This was pre-Mitch Trubisky. We had Marquise Williams was the quarterback. But I look at that now and I think, wow, my lack of professionalism was astounding. But I found a way to do it all. Once again, that is a constant theme in this job, is I was like, you know what? I'm going to have time with my friends, enjoy my senior year while I can, and also then go cover a football game maybe after I've been at a tailgate for an hour or two.
But you know what? It was a student news. It was different. It was a different time. You could do it. It was a totally different time. I will tell you, I said at the beginning of this season, if Michigan goes to the national championship, I too am going to the national championship. And I don't care if they take that 49ers last game on Sunday and put it on Monday night, which would be unusual to put it up against the national championship. But they put it on Monday night in Houston across the street. I'm going to the national championship. And that was one of my like non-negotiables. I mean, I knew that was obviously not going to happen, but that was one of my, I was like, no, this is going to be the one time. Like, this is something I want to do so badly. Like this, and this is exciting. And this is another thing that may never happen again. So I wasn't going to miss that. Well, let's actually talk about, since we were talking about all the amazing things about the job and the hard things about the job, let's talk about your journey and how you got to this job.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have stress dreams all the time that I'm back in college. I have like a couple categories of anxiety dreams. Most of them revolve around college and, you know, the whole, oh, I didn't go to a class all semester and now I have a Spanish final or a math final and I didn't study and I didn't even know I was in the class. The other one that is very relevant that I think about a lot is that all of a sudden I somehow am in college or about to graduate or somehow, but I have never declared that I was going to be a journalist. And I have to like now get a job. Like my contract with ESPN is up and I have to figure out what I'm doing. The internship is over and now you need to figure it out. Like I constantly have these dreams of, or I'm graduating and now I can't be a journalist anymore. Like it's very weird and complicated, but to me, it all relates back to the fact that I don't think I ever I was never cognizant in picking, I am going to be an NFL reporter. I grew up in a family where my mom was an athletic director and my dad was a pastor, United Methodist pastor. We moved all over. Both my parents are very athletic. My mom was a field hockey coach on the college level and high school level. My dad ran track and cross country. They went to UNC. That's where they met. And I grew up in a household that didn't have traditional office jobs. So I never really saw what that was like. And we love sports. We love UNC, watched football, basketball, listened to it on the radio. Like I just loved it. And I loved going to the local high school games. I played sports. I loved everything about it. And I remember in high school getting the Winston-Salem Journal and going to the box scores and looking for my friends' names in the newspaper because I thought that was the coolest thing in the world to see somebody I knew in like a newspaper that other people got. And I remember, like, I would just tell my parents, like, oh, did you know Mindy had this many rebounds and, you know, this person scored this many points? And like, they had already read the sports pages, and yet they put up with me continuing to just repeat what they had already read. But I just loved it. I loved the people aspect of it and feeling like my friends were famous. Like, I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And my AAU coach in basketball remembers me telling him one time that I wanted to be on ESPN and that I wanted to be Erin Andrews. I don't necessarily remember saying that I wanted to be Erin Andrews. I do remember saying that I wanted to be on ESPN because I just liked sports, and that was the only thing I knew that you could do.
Right.
And I worked at my high school's yearbook because our newspaper didn't publish very often. I was always the sports pages editor. Then I was the high school yearbook editor. And that my senior year that I did that, I wrote what I now understand to be like my first ever sports story. And it was about the headmaster at my school was also our assistant varsity basketball coach. And I called it Trading Suits, about how he went from wearing a suit and tie during the day to wearing, you know, a practice suit in the afternoon.
I love that.
I didn't even, like, looking back at it now, like, gosh, like, that's a good story. Like,
if I
was on a preps beat, like, I would absolutely do that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my first story. And when I went to college, I went to UNC, and my mom had signed me up for Carolina Fever, which was like the student booster athletics club. But I also went to Fall Fest, where you could sign up for different activities and listservs. And I went to sign up for the yearbook there, and the table was kind of disappointing. And they said, well, we haven't published a yearbook in a little bit, so you can help us on back issues. And I was like, I don't know about that. I don't want to work on a yearbook for people that I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I pivoted, and the table for the Daily Tar Heel was right beside it. And I listened to the pitch. I filled out an interest form. I went to an interest meeting a couple weeks later, and I applied, and I ranked my choices as first one sports desk, second, I think, diversions, which was like the artsy desk where you reviewed like local indie bands. Okay. And then I think like photography was my third. Like, I really didn't know. I just knew that I really liked sports, and I also really liked to write and had done well in AP English. And the clips that I submitted were that story of the high school, of my high school headmaster, and then my letter from the editor for the yearbook that was filled with like sciencey puns, because the theme of the yearbook was that it was a textbook. So submitted that, I got accepted onto the sports desk and had no idea what a big deal it was. Mm-hmm. I think I was the only girl that was accepted to the sports desk that year. They had, I think we might have accepted like 8 new writers, and the other desks accepted much larger numbers. It was very competitive. And I ended up working my way up from there and covered everything from field hockey to lacrosse, women's basketball, softball, eventually worked my way to men's basketball and football. I was the sports editor for a little bit, assistant sports editor, like really did everything until I graduated. And then I got a job as the editor for Carolina Blue Magazine, which was published through a partnership with 247 Sports.
Okay.
And I got to use my yearbook editing skills. And basically, they gave me 30 pages a month that were completely blank. And it was do what you want. You know, I some of it I did shoot my own stuff. Some of it I hired a photographer. But we didn't really have a budget. And I did that for maybe 6 or 7 months. And then got hired at the Durham Herald Sun to cover NC Central, small HBCU in Durham, and did that for 1.5 years. And then a new newspaper had opened up in based out of Raleigh called the North State Journal. They wanted to be a statewide circulation newspaper, and they gave me the opportunity to design my own beat. And I said,
oh, wow.
This was March of 2016. And I said, well, I really want to be back covering UNC. Mm-hmm. And they were in the middle or about to go on their run to the 2016 Final Four, where they lost to Villanova.
Okay.
So this was, I think, February. I was in conversations with them. So I said, I want to cover UNC and I want to do features, like statewide offbeat features. And they said, yep, absolutely. Go for it. So they hire me. I cover the 2016 Final Four. It was insane. I also wrote features about like a small town rodeo and a girl that was in the Special Olympics in Raleigh, who I think was born without a leg or had a leg amputated. Just like as many cool stories as I could find. And in the process of doing that, working at that newspaper, I had connected with a woman through Awesome, the Association for Women in Sports Media. I'd been an intern there working for the Colorado Springs Gazette between my junior and senior year. And I had met Jenny Carlson, who at the time was a columnist at the Oklahoman. So when I was at the 2016 Final Four in Houston, I was trying to find a better seat. And I emailed her and I said, hey, I have no idea, like, if you're still here because OU has had lost, but if you're not, can I sit in your seat? And she emails me back. She's like, yep, sure, absolutely. I didn't end up sitting in her seat. I tried to take someone else's that was better. And then they showed up 5 minutes before tip off and I had to walk of shame back to my original seat. So word to the wise there. But a couple months later, I got an email from Jenny out of the blue that said, hey, I have no idea if you're interested in even leaving North Carolina, but we have an opening for an OU football beat writer at the Oklahoman. Would you be interested in applying? And I said, yeah, actually, I want to know, do I like sports writing because I like telling people's stories, or do I like it because it lets me cover UNC and lets me...
That's a really important distinction.
Right.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, because I grew up loving North Carolina. I love UNC, but you know, you renounce your fandom a little bit as a sports writer. And so I had really distanced my fandom aspect of it, but then I felt like I was still getting that piece of me fulfilled by at least being able to write about the programs and tell those stories. But yeah, I needed to find out, like, what is it about this job that I like? Is it the proximity to UNC or is it telling the stories? So I went out and I interviewed and I got the job. And I did not plan on being a football writer. I always wanted to do college basketball. But as I told them, I said, you know, the one commonality here between OU football and UNC basketball is that they are the center of what's being talked about in this sport. Like, UNC basketball is the, you know, Final Four, blue blood. They are always in the conversation. OU football at the time had Baker Mayfield. They are, you know, Heisman candidate, college football playoffs or national championship. Like, I want to cover the thing that people care about the most. And that is what got me the job, was that they said, you can handle the pressure and you like the pressure. Mm-hmm. And I did that for two seasons, OU's Sugar Bowl season and Rose Bowl season when they lost to Georgia, Baker's runner-up Heisman and Heisman year. And then I got an email from the sports editor at the time at the Kansas City Star, who said, hey, I have no idea if you're interested in covering the NFL. We have an opening for our Chiefs beat writer. Are you interested in applying? And they had drafted Patrick Mahomes the year before. He was getting ready to start. I said, wow, I actually covered Mahomes and Mayfield in that crazy game in Lubbock. I really think this kid is going to be good. Yes, I would love to.
And you were right, by the way. He is quite good.
It worked out pretty well, right?
Yeah, he's really quite good.
So I was there his first MVP season in 2018 when they lost to Tom Brady in the AFC Championship in overtime. And from there, I was planning on staying at the Star for a long time. And I got a call from ESPN late in the summer and they said, hey, our Steelers writer, Jeremy Fowler, has been promoted to national. We have an opening for the Steelers job. Are you interested? And I said, ah, man, I really don't want to give up Patrick Mahomes, but I know that for my own personal development and what I want to do, you're giving me an opportunity that you want me to do TV, you want me to do podcasts, I can write for online. Like, you're giving me so many platforms and the resources to develop as a writer and reporter and television personality in a way that the newspaper where I am just doesn't have that support and infrastructure. Like, this is the best move for me, even though I'm having to give up this, like, I could see then this team was going to be something, but I had to weigh the outlet and my own personal fulfillment and development. And I took the Steelers job in 2019. And 2 weeks later, Ben Roethlisberger's elbow goes out and I cover a season of Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. But, you know, they're, even when I get frustrated about, you know, covering a terrible offense for what feels like the fifth year in a row, and you know, the Chiefs are over here on their second Super Bowl parade, third Super Bowl parade, like, even then I know that I still made the right decision because it has made me grow in a way that I would not have been able to in Kansas City. And it just, I'm so grateful for it every day. But that's like the long-winded version of how I ended up here covering the Steelers. This is, I'm starting it on my sixth season, which is just insane.
Well, and you bring up a lot of really good points. And I think one of them was the idea of your, you know, your fandom goes away. I grew up a 49ers fan. I'm obviously not a 49ers fan anymore. I'm not like actively rooting against them, obviously, but like, I'm not a fan anymore. I'm a beat reporter and I've been one for, this will be my, I'm going to be going into my ninth season. So it's just, it's very different, but that's an important thing to bring up. And it kind of goes a little bit to what you said about Kansas City. And you kind of, in a way, it's different, but it's a little bit like giving up the fandom because you could see what Patrick Mahomes was going to be. You could see what this Chiefs team was going to be. But the best thing for Brooke Pryor was to go to ESPN and cover the Steelers. And even though I'm sure it is sometimes hard to look and be like, wow, I, you know, all these great things have happened for them, but for you, you made the best decision. And that's like a little bit of giving up the fan part too. I don't know if that makes sense, but it kind of is a little bit of giving that up.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many texts I got this year when Taylor Swift started dating Travis Kelce with the, wow, don't you wish you were still in Kansas City? How bummed are you that you don't get to see Taylor Swift every week? And I'm like, listen,
you don't need to rub it in, all right? Thanks.
And there were times where I was like, God, if I had just stayed in Kansas City. And then I think about, I had 2 seasons ago, I was a regular on Get Up. They were flying me up to New York every week. I have done so many things. Like, I went out to the Bay Area and did a feature with Najee Harris and drove around with him in his neighborhood. I have covered, getting ready to, by the time this publishes, I will have already covered the NCAA tournament for ESPN for the second, for the second time. There are so many more things that personally and professionally I was able to do and develop because I went to ESPN, because that's what was best for me. And I, it does hurt, you know, when you're like, gosh, I could be going back to another Super Bowl, or I could be going to Germany. And it's like, well, yeah, there's a lot of things we all could be doing, but you have to make the best decision for you in that moment. And that can mean giving up some other cool opportunities because it's just not the right time. It's not the right fit for you in the long run.
Absolutely. And you know what? You will cover Super Bowl and you will go to Germany. You may go to Germany on vacation. You may go to Germany to cover a game, but you will go to Germany and all those things will happen. But I think the timing part of it is so important. And I'm glad that you talked about that because I think that's an important thing when people are looking at this career again and looking at choices. And it also brings up something that we talk a lot about on this podcast, but I just think is so important, is that it's important not to have so much tunnel vision and to be able to look at opportunities and see where they can lead you and be open to things that come your way, which it sounds like you really did your entire career.
Yeah, that's, you know, the number one thing when I talk to younger journalists or even, you know, some my age that, you know, we're talking about careers and decisions and things like that. And I hear a lot from journalists who say, well, I don't want to take this job because I don't want to live in this city. And I don't, mm-hmm. I can't imagine leaving, you know, this situation that I'm in to move somewhere that I've never been, or I don't think I like this place. And look, I get it. Before I moved to Oklahoma, I had never been to the state until I went on my interview.
Okay.
I had never had a desire to go to Oklahoma. In fact, my biggest fear at the time was tornadoes. And here I am moving to like smack dab in the middle of Tornado Alley. And if you had told my 10-year-old self that had nightmares about Twister, would not have believed you, would have said, you are insane. What are you doing? But that's where the story was. And that's where the job was. And I have always tried to approach things with the long view in mind of, nothing is permanent. Even if you buy a house somewhere, you can always sell your house, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can always do things to change the situation you're in, but it shouldn't prevent you from starting something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You bet on yourself. You know, I have been in Pittsburgh now for 6 years, and there are things that, as an outsider in Pittsburgh, as someone from the South, I don't love. There are not a lot of strip malls here, and that is a weird thing to miss, but like, wow, I miss a good open air, like high end shopping center. Like, I love it. And there's not much of that here. And so what my husband and I, we were fortunate enough, we bought a house in North Carolina that I spend half the year in. That's that we haven't even owned it a year yet. But that's like, now where I go when I need somewhere to reset. It was like, okay, there are things that I'm not happy about in my current situation, but I'm not going to change teams. I'm not ready to be a national writer, or national reporter yet. What can I do to make myself happy? And that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And you can do that in so many different ways. You know, living in Oklahoma, we went to Dallas a lot because it was 3 hours away. We loved going there. Also loved living in Oklahoma City. We went to Thunder Games. We mm-hmm. went to the arts festivals. Like, there's something in every city that you move to and every beat that you cover that is going to be such a huge upside that you didn't even know existed until you get there. And you're going to learn skills that can then translate to something else. And when you get to that next step, like if your goal is to be, I don't know, a Chicago Bears beat writer, for example, and you say, I want to cover the Bears so badly. And you get a job offer to cover like UConn football. And you're like, what mm-hmm. in the world am I going to do with? Like, no, that's so far away from Chicago. That's the wrong division. Why would I do that? You never know what connection you make there that might end up helping you out when you cover the Bears. Mm-hmm. You know, what if they end up hiring an assistant from Connecticut? What if they actually, now that I'm saying that, I don't even know if UConn has a football program. So I really could have picked the wildest possible.
That's okay. There. They've got to have some. Well, whatever. You know, I actually like it because now it's just a hypothetical.
Exactly. Like you, I am such a huge advocate for, just because something doesn't seem like it's the path that you wanted, doesn't mean it's the wrong step.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. Like when I did the awesome internship, my internship was endowed by Christine Brennan, amazing journalist, amazing role model, has always been a great mentor and advocate. And I remember at my first convention, she asked a group of us what we wanted to be doing in 5 years. And this would have probably been 2013. I said, I want to be a national college basketball writer for USA Today. And one girl laughed at me. And Christine immediately was like, why are you laughing at her? Like, she can say whatever she wants. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but that's what she wants.
Right.
And I that's what I thought I wanted. And that's why I kept covering UNC and all these things. But by the time I got to 2018, I was covering the Kansas City Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. Nowhere near what I thought I wanted. But I don't regret ever going down the path that I went down, because it taught me, turns out I love covering football more than I like covering basketball. There's more stories. There's more access. Like, you don't know what you don't know. And so I am also a big advocate for, I don't really have a bucket list of jobs that I want or like goals in terms of, well, I need to be this job in this many years and this is my ultimate dream, because dreams change and I don't want to limit myself. So I just kind of keep it open-ended. I want to do something that I'm having fun doing, that I'm telling stories that matter to people. And however that's defined on a resume or, you know, whoever writes my check for that, great. But I don't want to limit myself.
I would love to get to one of my favorite parts of the podcast. I feel like it piggybacks really well off this, because you just said you have a lot of, you know, fun doing what you're doing and you don't want to limit yourself. Can you take us through a day in your life? Because I feel like that would be really interesting. And it could be, you pick, it could be a free agency day. It could be a game day. It could be a random Wednesday during the season, whatever sounds interesting to you. But I feel like your day in the life is going to be very interesting for all of us.
I will say my days, no 2 days are the same, which is what I love about it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a good one where you get a little bit of everything. A Wednesday during the season is a good example, sometimes a Thursday, but a Wednesday is a good one because that has typically been when the Steelers quarterbacks talk. And if I have
these Wednesdays are going to be super fun.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. So during the season, I am really bad about working out. So I wish I could tell you that I started out going to Orange Theory, but I know myself, and I probably woke up and late canceled a class and got charged $12 because I couldn't fathom getting up at 7:30 to go do that. So
I like the honesty of how your day began on this random hypothetical Wednesday. I love that. Love it.
No, very, very clear. I would have had a goal to go and it wouldn't have happened. So I get up, I make breakfast, usually like yogurt, fruit, coffee, and I start out by watching Get Up. Because a couple seasons ago when I was a regular, I fell in love with it. I've always loved morning television. I used to DVR the Today Show. I like Get Up because it is fun, like a morning TV show, but it has sports news. So it's a morning TV show that happens to be about sports. And I love it. And it gives me a good feel for what the national conversation is. And I mm-hmm. view that as my homework, that mm-hmm. what I want is to eventually, like, I'd like to be a regular, even more regular on morning television in some form. Could be, you know, ABC, NBC, whatever, like Today Show, or maybe it's Get Up. Maybe it's a show that hasn't even come up yet. Mm-hmm. But I watch that as late as I can. Usually I'm running late, but the Steelers first availability is at 10:30. Okay. I am lucky enough that I live 5 minutes from the facility, so I usually leave here at like 10:20 if I'm running on time, and go over there, go into the locker room. We have about a 15-minute period where sometimes a quarterback will talk in that early period, and sometimes it's just babysitting the locker room to see who comes in. Sometimes before he got traded, Deontay Johnson would talk Wednesday mornings, but that's kind of the first morning where the guys in the locker room start talking about that week's game. And, you know, I've stopped kind of focusing on what has just happened and what will happen. Mm-hmm. Then go back, and we've got about an hour and a half or so before the Steelers are great. They serve us lunch at 12:30, and it's amazing.
The Niners do too on Wednesdays.
Yes.
Fabulous.
God bless. That's a highlight.
And Fridays of home games. I don't want to discount the Fridays of home games in case they're listening. They're like, it's not just Wednesdays.
I will say the Steelers feed us every day that we're there in the team cafeteria. So
wow.
If the NFLPA would like to survey me about the food, I would give it a 10 out of 10. It's excellent.
This is good to know.
Yeah. So while in that like hour and a half break between the end of locker room and lunch, if news has happened, if someone has said something newsworthy, I'm sending an email, a pitch to our news desk, mm-hmm. And writing that up if they want something. Other times, sometimes I pre-tape. Then if the quarterback has talked in that early window and SportsCenter is interested, sometimes they send a crew with me, mm-hmm. just a freelance crew out of Pittsburgh. Or sometimes, and this has been the case more often than not, I have an iPhone that has a TVU app that connects me to Bristol. I have a tripod. I have a stick mic. And I go set up across from the facility. There's a walking trail that I set up that has a great shot. And I will either do a talk back or tape a whip, something like that. Then go eat lunch. Then the Steelers allow us to watch all of practice. But you cannot report anything unless you confirm it with somebody in the locker room afterwards. So, you know, it could be anything from a catch I saw to a depth chart change to an injury. Like, I can't say anything that I saw unless somebody in the locker room tells me that that happened. And practice usually goes until about 2 o'clock. And then there's 30 minutes, I believe, of locker room after practice. So then you go there, maybe a quarterback talks again, maybe it's another headliner. And then there's a chance that I either have NFL Live or the 6 o'clock Sports Center, or they want me to tape a whip for the next morning. In addition to writing anything newsworthy off of that. And then sometimes I have radio hits sprinkled in there, either locally or I do a bunch of radio with my friends back in Raleigh because Matt Canada, who had previously been the offensive coordinator at NC State, was in Pittsburgh, and they were more than interested to talk about that. And because the Steelers are such a national brand, I have requests coming in from all over the country. And so those are usually sprinkled in throughout my day on Wednesdays and Thursdays. That happens. And then, you know, could be pitching more news, could be filing the big story for the week that I'd been gathering on probably for weeks prior to that. That's on like a big trend or player focus, something that isn't necessarily game dependent, but that there's a news peg for with the upcoming game. And they usually like to get those in early in the week, so there's time for that to run on Friday or Saturday. But I would probably leave the facility about 5 o'clock, 5:30, depends on if I want to write there, come back home and write. And then after I file, usually the rest of the evening is some combination of scrolling Instagram, scrolling Twitter, scrolling TikTok. There's a common theme there. making some kind of like very easy dinner. There's a lot of buttered noodles that happen, a lot of salad kits, watching TV, and then also reading any other coverage I might have missed during the day. Looking to see what the Steelers specific conversations are on Twitter. If I am doing like get up the next morning, sometimes I'll have a call with a producer to go over my notes, or I email in notes for like the morning Sports Center or get up or whatever it is to pre-plan out for the next day. But the nights are usually pretty unstructured. Like I can't book a workout class for the afternoon because there's so many times that news will come up that I have to, you know, cancel for because I have to write a story or do a hit or whatever else. So I just kind of leave that as flex time that, you know, maybe I'll go for a walk if I have time. It's nice too, because with my husband having our house in North Carolina, a lot of the times during the season, he's down there with our dogs. We don't have any kids right now. And the dogs have a backyard in North Carolina, so I FaceTime them constantly, but it lets me during the season, like if I want to work ahead on a story, I can stay up until 2 a.m. and I'm not disturbing anyone. I can, you know, it lets me indulge in my worst workaholic tendencies without feeling guilty about it. And it's what works for us right now. And so that's kind of a day in the life. It changes a lot, but I like being busy. I like having things to do and things to talk about.
That's fantastic. It's so interesting. Even, you know, it's so funny. And this is an interesting thing too, especially when we're talking about different cities and different beats. We both cover NFL teams, and your Wednesday and the way the Steelers do it is different than the way the 49ers do it. So for me, that was really interesting to hear.
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating just to see how different it can be within the same league.
Oh yeah. Well, and the thing about the Steelers is that they're different from almost every NFL team because typically, I mean, you know, that's the NFL, the off day is Tuesday. That's typically a player's day off. It's dark. That might be when like community service things happen.
Yes. That's
but
how it is.
The Steelers, with the Steelers, the only day during the week that Mike Tomlin is scheduled to talk is on Tuesdays because it's carried by local TV. And so even though the NFLPA and the NFL basically mandated that coaches are supposed to talk after games on Mondays, on Wednesdays, and on Fridays, the Steelers were allowed, because of their local television commitments, to have Mike Tomlin talk on Tuesdays. And then he's technically available by request Wednesday through Friday. And he doesn't often get requested unless something significant is happening, like George Pickens last year, or quarterback injuries, things like that. We are pretty measured in how often we request him. But because of that, the Steelers have something during a home week, like between home games, there's something in the facility every single day. And so that can get repetitive and sometimes feels a little too close to an office job.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that for sure. Brooke, I have honestly loved, not that I wouldn't be honest, but I've just loved talking to you. I think your journey is incredible. And I love how organically kind of each thing's happened and really drives home being open, building relationships, doing good work, like all of the things that we want people to do. And I love listening to it. And I love listening to your day in the life, because I am like you. I like to be busy. I like to have a lot of things going on. And I just feel very similarly. So I've just so enjoyed talking to you today. It's been fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. But I can't let you go yet, because we have to do five fun facts. Oh. And five fun facts is something that I started with the 49ers players, and they do it on video. And it's like five things about them that you wouldn't otherwise know. But on this podcast, we ask every guest the same five questions every week. And it's been great because they're the same five questions and everyone's answers are so different. So if I can take a few more minutes of your time, are you ready for five fun facts with Brooke Pryor?
Absolutely.
What is your favorite moment in sports?
Oh, my favorite moment in sports. You know what? This is going to be, because I can't think of one off the top of my head. Actually, that's a lie. as soon as I said that, I will say my favorite moment in sports is just generically being with a team after a big win.
Okay.
I have covered Super Bowls. I've been in Super Bowl winning locker rooms. I was in the locker room after the Patriots won. Beat the Rams. I had to be specific because they've won so much. But when they beat the Rams with Brady and Brady's last Super Bowl with the Patriots, I love seeing the emotion from the players and the coaches and seeing them talk about it. Like, my favorite thing is being with people in very emotional, vulnerable moments, especially when they're like happy about it, right? Like, just soaking it in and being a fly on the wall for that. And I mean, the same thing goes for rushing Franklin Street as a student or watching my friends rush Franklin Street. Like, to me, my favorite moment in sports is when there is that outpouring of emotion, because it's just such a release and it's a pure euphoria that I love trying to capture it. And I love getting to experience it. There's nothing like it.
What is your life motto?
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. What is your go-to workout? I think I might know, but what is it?
Well, when I have time, I love Orange Theory.
That's what I was going to go with.
Yep. But when I don't have time, I love walking my dogs.
Okay, that's fair. I can totally relate to that. What is your go-to coffee order?
I have been riding the brown sugar oat milk shaken espresso iced when it is hot outside or when I need to chug caffeine fast. Otherwise, I do a oat milk latte with brown sugar syrup. So, like, same taste, yeah. Just, you know, different temperatures.
And last but not least, a book every woman should read.
Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. I think that's how you say your last name. It is my favorite book. I recommend it to absolutely everyone. It will make you feel all the things, and it's such a great slice of life book. It's about video game developers, and I am not a gamer, and yet I love it. I kind of want to go reread it right now. It's the best book I've ever read.
All right, I'm going to go download it onto my Kindle. Brooke, thank you again. Please tell everybody where they can find you.
I am on Instagram and Twitter, or X, or whatever you want to call it, at B-E Pryor, P-R-Y-O-R, and all of my work is on ESPN.com.
Fantastic. If you guys like what you heard, and I know that you did because this was fantastic, please give us a 5-star rating and a positive review. You can find me on Twitter or X at Tracy FGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler, our Fangirl Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And I think those are all my announcements. Thank you again, Brooke, and I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye, y'all.